just got back from Vancouver and we're heading over to the Super Bowl. In between, we'll have a cup of coffee. Yeah, part of the coffeescapes. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, and everything in between. This is episode number 504 of The Next Step. We're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Yes, I am aware of it. You don't need to tell me. Yes, I do know. But you know what? We were up in Vancouver just this last week and somebody got up from the audience and said the same question that so many of you have been asking me. Am I aware that there's somebody else doing videos like ours? And you know, it's like, yes, yes. The first day that they came out, I think I got four or five emails or Facebook posts, people saying, hey, did you see this? What can I say? Flattery? What is the saying? Imitation. Yes, imitation is the best form of flattery. Okay, so they're imitating. It's sad because there's no creativity. That's what's sad to me. You know, to me, the human soul, the likeness of God, is that we have the ability to create. Hey, create something new. Don't just replicate it. And it's like people who lip sync. When we were kids, you know, we used to put on old Beatle records and then lip sync, and we'd hold pots and pans like guitars. There's no creativity except to mimic, and that's the best form of flattery, right? We love the Beatles. Well, it's the same kind of thing. Okay, somebody's making videos like mine. Yeah, they're not really like mine. I mean, I resent it in a way, too. Come on. Is that what it comes down to? But anyway, we just got back from Vancouver, freezing Vancouver, met some incredible people over there. Incredible in the sense that we fell in love with the people, even though people told us we'd fall in love with the area. Maybe it was just too cold. People kept coming up to us and say, why didn't you come out during the summer or during the spring? Yeah, well, maybe next time invite me during those times. But even in the winter, Vancouver, beautiful, beautiful place, British Columbia up in Canada. And just had a wonderful time. I want to share some thoughts about that coming up later in the show. A lot of stuff has been going on. We're going to start it off with a little bit of talk about what today happens to be. Yes, and I am aware that we are a little bit late in getting these out. I am also aware that there are some glitches going on our In His Shoes website, which prevent the podcast from coming out. We are very aware. We're working on the problem. Yesterday, I did my civic duty of being on a jury panel. Went to jury duty, and well, we did it. And of course, the night before, we had the coffeescapes. What a beautiful show that was. Like I'm telling you, I got so much to tell you. The travels to Vancouver, the coffeescapes, they're all coming up a little bit later on. We'll see if we can get a little bit of the interview in there as well that I did with Anish. It was just, it's been a really full, action-packed week. But let me start off with what today happens to be. February 2nd happens to be Groundhog's Day. And groundhogs, you may think, is just some secular feast. It would be like likening Christmas to the Xmas feast, right? Well, Groundhog's Day has its roots in Christianity, and Groundhog's Day is about something very special on the Christian calendar. But this morning, we have a tradition. Punxsutawney Phil came out from sleep, from slumber, from his habitat, end. Whether he sees his shadow, doesn't see his shadow, depends on how many more weeks of winter we will have. Because today happens to be the midwinter.
You ever had a day like I had today? When things are stacked up bad. Yeah. You look around and everything.
Yes, the dogs in midwinter. Especially one particular dog, the groundhog. Yes, a type of, I don't know, what are they? Are they varmints? I like that word varmint because it corresponds to an Armenian word, varnots. You know, it's like kind of like, yeah, they're like rodent-like things. Well, I shouldn't say that, groundhog. Let's give it its due. The groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, came out of its hole and he saw his shadow, which, according to legend, means that we're in store for 6 more weeks of winter. Now, along with that, we should also say that there are some bad things about February 2nd, now that I think about it, and that, of course, that it corresponds to the death of a very dear friend exactly a year ago. Those of you who listen to the podcast regularly know the very special tribute we made last year to a very dear friend, Laura, who passed away on this day. So it's exactly been a year. And I thought about this morning as we heard news about Punxsutawney Phil coming up, and just what happened a year ago. And, you know, it's really our choices, isn't it? It's up to us what we keep. You know, you can always remember the death and the bad things about a person that happened to that person's life. But it's really up to the Christian to take those bad things and really celebrate the goodness, because death is never an end in Christian life. And it's so true. I was just thinking about it this morning. If I sat there and I thought and I contemplated that a year ago today, a very, very sad day in our lives, closest friend passing away and succumbing to an awful dreaded disease such as cancer. And you think about it and you say, well, that's horrible. Or you can think about it and say, death, where is your sting? As St. Paul said, and you look and you say, the choice is really mine. The choice is really mine to look at life, and I can get down, or else I can sit there and I could celebrate the life that she had, that she was able to touch us with in so many different dimensions, that we became different, we became changed, and we are feeling that sadness because of that. So I want to really focus in on this Groundhog's Day today, because it just fits in so perfectly with everything, including the sadness too. But let me just go through the mechanics of Groundhog's Day, because it is, like I said, it has its root in Christianity, and it's called Candlemas. Today happens to be exactly 40 days after Christmas. So if you celebrate December 25th, Christmas, today, February 2nd, is 40 days after that Christmas feast, the Nativity. If you happen to celebrate Christmas January 6th on February 14th, not Valentine's Day, but you would celebrate the Candlemas, or what we call in Armenian, Diarant Arach, Derendes, to see the Lord. And this comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. You'll find a story that 40 days after Jesus was born, he was taken to the temple for the rite of purification. Now, I want you to think about that word, right? That's what it says in the gospel, the rite of purification. Well, who's that purification for? It's not for Jesus, right? Already pure. Any baby is born pure. The rite of purification, of course, is for the mother. It's a time where just naturally after childbirth, you want to be able to bring the body back to its senses, so to speak, to its form. So we write in the church these beautiful services that correspond respond to the nature of our lives. That's what's so special about the church. It's the way that we bring together, we bring together and harmonize our lives. So yeah, you have this traumatic experience where another life comes out of you. Yeah, you know, like your body's all doing all kinds of stuff. Hormones going this way, that way. You're pushing your muscles and everything. 40 days later, it's a time to relax and come and give the praise that's due to God. That we're thankful to God for the blessing of life. And so we see Joseph and Mary and Jesus going into the church and for this rite of purification. And there, a guy named Simeon, who's been promised that he won't see death until he sees the Savior of the world, takes Jesus into his lap and praises God, saying, "Thank you, I have now seen with my eyes the Savior of this world." And so this tradition of Derendez, or Candlemas, is the 40 days after Christmas. And it depends on where you are on your calendar. January 6th, man, we celebrate it, then it's going to be on February 14th. It's just a plus 40 to your Christmas. Now, interestingly enough, it also corresponds to midwinter, which, you know, has to do with the solstice. The winter solstice, when the days started getting longer. And now you've got 6 weeks later, we are at the midwinter, and so the Groundhog Celebration. Now, I feel really, really fortunate because in my last 6 months, I have seen these beautiful phenomena, including a solar eclipse of the sun completely eclipsed. And just a few days ago, we saw the lunar eclipse. And these are all things that are happening up in the skies. And these are all the motions of the universe. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment in the context of everything else. Candlemas, midwinter, the body coming and claiming its own 40 days later, friend dying, the natural order of the universe. Things proceed. Things move forward. The sadness or the happiness that we feel, whether it's the birth of a child and we're happy, or the death of a friend, is our reflection of these events, and they are just as natural as everything else that you see in the universe. In other words, it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel sad. The sadness is not about death winning out. The sadness is about the missing, about the caring, about the compassion. If you weren't sad, it would mean that there's something wrong with that life, right? It didn't impact you. It didn't touch you. Of course, lives impact us. They touch us in a variety of manners. And when we lose them, there is a sadness. It's like taking a piece out of you. It's taking a piece out of you. Of course, you're going to feel pain. Same thing with the 40 days. Of course you're going to feel pain in that childbirth. A piece of you, a child has been born out of you. Yes, incredible pain, right? But then you come back. And this is the beauty of life. It's finding its equilibrium. Coming back and finding its equilibrium. And that's what happens on Candlemas. That's what happens when Jesus, Mary, and Joseph go into the temple. It's coming back to the equilibrium point, to the 40 days later, when everything is now relaxed, where everything now goes back into its place. And we call that a rite of purification, or you call that an adjustment, a chiropractic adjustment of the soul, right? And this is the beauty of living a church life, because you have these patterns and you have this regimen. We sometimes forget that one of the most important things that the church gives us is this regimen, this discipline of life. So you have these patterns, these ups and downs in life, and they correspond to so much around us in Christianity that we see that there is a value to the crucifixion as much as there is a value to the resurrection. And you can't get to resurrection unless you first go through crucifixion. So you understand that there is a pattern. So you have your child and now things are going back. And this is the wonder and beauty of the universe, that it always seeks its equilibrium. It's one of the laws of thermodynamics. It's not like we're making it up here in Christianity. No, it's been proven. It's a law in nature of physics that everything finds its equilibrium. There is entropy. There is the energy that is going out, that it is expanding throughout the universe. In fact, I just finished an incredible book called Origins by Dan Brown. I suggest it, highly recommend it. And we're talking about, at the end, it's just as much about this energy as it is about the origins of where we come from. Very, very nicely done, by the way. But there it is, the patterns. And so when you look at some of these feasts that we have within the Christian church, you start understanding that the ancients, that our forefathers, foremothers, they put these patterns together to give definition to their lives. And in fact, it is that definition that we crave and we need. And it gives us the stability in our lives. Groundhog's Day. Dogs of Midwinter.
We're all running on a tightrope, wearing slippers in the snow. We're all dogs in the midwinter. Well, the ice is ever thinner. Be careful how you go, like dogs in the midwinter. And it's hard to find true equilibrium when you're looking at each other down the muzzle of a gun.
So along with this calendar phenomena, we had the phenomena, the astronomical phenomena, yes. We saw the eclipse of the moon. And that was on January 31st. And it was not only an eclipse of a regular moon, it was like a blood moon. It was also a blue moon, the second one in a month. Wow, so many things happened. Yes, and the eclipse was noticed up here in North America. I have to say that because all of you down in south in the southern hemisphere get some incredible astronomical anomalies that hit you. And every time I remember the waiting for solar eclipses, they would always premiere in the southern hemisphere for some reason. This past year, we had a chance to see the solar eclipse here in North America, and we saw the lunar eclipse a couple days ago. Really, really exciting. And it all happened as we were coming back from Vancouver. Now, in Vancouver, as you recall, we were going up there to speak at the St. Vartan Armenian Church. There we met Father Gerhard Garabedian, wonderful man who really kind of opened his heart, his person to us and showed us all around. We got to meet so many people. Funny, though, it was very cold. Did I happen to mention that once before? When we got back to Los Angeles, the first thing we did, actually our plane arrived at 11 o'clock at night. 12 midnight, we sat in our car, and the first thing we did in Los Angeles, we rolled down the windows, the moonroof, and just let the air hit us, and just saying, thank God we have Los Angeles. Now, those of you who've been listening to me know that that is one of those very strange, strange things that I would ever admit, that the Los Angeles had a good side to it. But yes, that night we really appreciated it. Anyway, up in Vancouver, besides the cold, we met some great, great warm people. And we'll take the opportunity to do a big shout out to new friends that we met. One was Bridget and her niece, Maudal, who happens to be versed and studying in tourism and all these fun things to just show us around, make sure that we did not leave without seeing some of the best that Vancouver had to offer. And we certainly did. Totem poles. Now, here was an interesting phenomenon. There, you know that a couple months ago we were up with the Native Americans in North Dakota fighting for the rights at Standing Rock. And we got used to referring to them as Native Americans. In Vancouver, they were referring them to them, what we commonly call Indians, as the First Nation. And the minute I heard the First Nation, of course, it conjures up all kinds of images for us as Armenians, because First Nation, you know, First Nation to accept Christianity. We've been brought up with that concept. But the First Nation, the Native Americans that we have over here, basically the Indians, the people who were here first, they had a wonderful presence in and their totem poles. I had not seen totem poles in years. Down here in the Southern California area, we used to have a few of them. And I remember one in particular in the Santa Monica area. But you don't see them too often. And there they were up in Vancouver. Also, they took us to a very cool place where there were these men smiling at us. These metal men. You say, what? Metal men? No, they were just statues, okay? Just statues of men. But what was remarkable about them, as I'm looking at them, and I can't remember if it was Bridget or Model, but I said, I've seen these men before. And Susan said, you know, these look very familiar. Well, sure enough, these are the same guys that were standing around in Armenia. Actually, wait, I should say one guy stands around in Armenia. But they told us that this is the guy from Armenia. And if you've been up to the Cascades in Armenia and Yerevan, you'll notice this guy is this bending man who is smiling. But in Vancouver, we found all of his brothers, these bronze or metal statues, and there's an inscription there. It says, may this sculpture inspire laughter, playfulness, and joy in all who experience it. Hey, is that like an expression for church? I mean, seriously, I mean, isn't that what religion should be about? May it inspire laughter, playfulness, and joy in all who experience it. Oh, do I get these religious experiences or what? Even standing in the cold Vancouver, looking at these metal, and now do the imagery, metal statues in the cold, really cold. But what does it do? It inspires laughter, playfulness, definitely, and joy in all who experience it. Do check out today's show notes, because I'll make sure that there is a link to these so you know what I'm talking about. But here's what's interesting about these guys is that they're called Amazing Laughter. A play on the word maze, because you walk through them. You walk through these statues. So it's amazing or amazing laughter. And I did some research on them. I found out who these bronze statues were made by. Yu Mingjun, a contemporary Chinese artist based in Beijing, China. He is best known for his oil paintings depicting himself in various settings and frozen in laughter. So very interesting. And like I said, if you're up in Armenia, and those listeners in Armenia, I know a couple of you are going to be running out there tomorrow morning up on the Cascades and looking at this this guy. Well, it was really a nice little surprise to find him, his brothers, in Vancouver. We had a wonderful time over there meeting so many people. And of course, the reason why we were there, we did a little special program, which you know as Next Step listeners, which those of you who have been following Apostle know all about. It's basically, what does the Armenian Church have to offer the rest of the world? What is that concept of Armadoxy? What is the concept of leveraging love? And you look at the show notes today, and we'll make sure that there's a link to leveraging love if you need a little bit of a reminder. It was certainly a great opportunity for myself to not only meet them, but to hear the relevance of the message today. Because, you know, we formed that about 10 years ago, the Leveraging Love. And here it is 10 years later. We've been going to different cities, different environments, different people. And always the message is clear. The message stands out. Not because of what we present, but because it is pure. It is based on the concept that Jesus Christ taught us. Love one another as I have loved you. Give your love. Make it unconditional. Don't worry about any of the repercussions. You just continue to love. And so that was the message that we went out there with. I think it was a wonderful weekend. And even the cold, let me say it this way, it preserved us a little bit better too. It was a very special weekend, an opportunity to meet with some new people, to see a community in action, to meet another priest, a fellow worker for the Christian gospel. We connected the minute we got there. He picked us up in a van, and the van is used to pick up bread and deliver to the homeless. And so the message of In His Shoes was nothing foreign, you know, people doing what is right. It was just really beautiful. And I want to tell you, if you're up that way, you got, you know, I tell you about all these places that I go. It's like I'm a travelogue too. I was listening to models. She's saying that she's showing people around. She's into tourism. Hey, I do the tourism bit for the Armenian Church. When you get out to Vancouver, make sure you stop by St. Vartan's. What a beautiful church, beautiful community. It was a blessing to be in their midst. Okay, we are at the portion in our program where we take a break and listen to a song of the day. I've picked out a song about Mardik, because last week happened to be the feast of St. Sarkis, and my new friend, Father Gerhard, also told me that it is also the feast of Mardik, because Sarkis' son's name was Mardiros. So how about that? Well, let's just do that, okay? Mardik songs, I picked out one of my favorite versions of it, and that's from Aradabanjan, of course, of Element Band. I think you'll enjoy it. Be back in a couple moments.
Tara çeymet kovdu Uri mayr ne artu Desneyi ayna harun Garo dovi esanun voramen mi karun çarero Vararun گارگاچوم ساره رون دسنه ای آینه رون گارو دوی سانون برامن می کارون شره رون وارا رون گارگاچوم ساره رون Tek veri ah biri Karo dans bahçeri Lineyi anteru Mergan anç markerun Mulzagun ne purumur amanu Oreru Ներինց միշտ համբում լինեի հանդերում Մեր կանանչ մարքերում նուր ձագում է պուրում ուրմանում Օրերում ով ներինց միշտ համբում Çünem yes mardu Akim ayr tangaki Dunda kam yes gürgin das bobem gokin hamuyo Sırdaki Gösermem gezim dırtski Akim ayr tandaki Dunda kam yes gürgin des bobem dokin hamuyo Sırdaki gösermem gezin dırtski
Mardigi Yerka is the name of that song by Element Band, of course, Ardabanjan. That is off of the Yevofe album, I believe, and definitely there'll be a link on today's show notes, not only to that album, not only to that song, but as we always do, we give you a link to the band itself, because when you hear good music, you got to go out there and be supportive of that good music too, right? Anyway, it's always a pleasure listening to them and sharing some of their great music. Element Band, Mardigi Yerka.
Hajordkan. Next step. Hajordkan. Hajordkan.
Okay, I'd like to share with you some phenomenal stuff that's happened. As you know, this past couple weeks, my sister Anish has had an exhibition of her Coffeescapes artwork. And this is actual coffee ground paint that she uses. And the other night, we had a great, great opportunity to do the closing event with a interview where I actually had a chance to interview my sister. Now, you don't get too many of these chances, you know, because you're a sister, as brother, you just talk and you just take everything, well, I don't want to say for granted, but you know everybody. You know her life. She knows your life. So it's not like you sit around and say, how did you grow up? You know, it's like, there's no reason for me to ask that because I know how she grew up. She knows how I grew up. But this was an interview for the public. And so it was very special for me to be able to sit down with my sister and talk to her about some of the things that influenced her artwork, her very special talent that she has, not only for Coffeescapes, but seeing that talent blossom throughout the years, whether it's artwork on a canvas, artwork in three dimensions. She used to do stained glass. I remember my first church, before it became St. Andrew in Cupertino, was known as the Armenian Church of Santa Clara Valley. And it was a small little building that we had. I got there and they had just built this small little building in addition to a house. And that lasted for a few years. I don't even believe it lasted 10 years before we demolished it and then made this beautiful Armenian church. But Anush surprised me at one of the junctions at that church. I had been there for maybe about a year at the most, maybe 2 years, top 2 years. And she brought up this beautiful stained glass window. And I have a picture of it. If I could find it, I'll definitely put it on the show notes. It troubles me in a little bit because we had to leave that up there. And one day I hope that we can find that, the actual stained glass itself. It is a beautiful, beautiful piece depicting the chalice, the birth of Christianity, so to speak, today. Think about it in these terms, right? We always talk about Jesus Christ, his birth in Bethlehem. Think about it every Sunday. You have this opportunity to experience the birth because what is coming out of that chalice except the body and blood of Jesus Christ? So it was this sunbeam chalice, if I remember right, it was this the Holy Eucharist coming out of the chalice in a sunbeam fashion. It was just really beautiful, and that's the kind of artwork that I came to love throughout the years and see. She'd done pencil sketchings. One of my favorite stories, childhood stories, actually our favorite childhood story, the Vozni. The Vosny has been something that we've been wanting to do together, maybe a joint project, but she's worked on that. She's worked on The Hare Who Lost His Spectacles, pen and ink, all kinds of mediums. But this was new. This was new, to use the medium of coffee. And not only coffee, but she also took the inside of a coffee cup and drew it. Now, this has a special meaning. I would imagine that if you had never seen this, it really wouldn't have much meaning to you. But it does have special meaning to us as Armenians. I believe most people in the Middle East who have this type of coffee. It's a very thick, muddy coffee. It's made out of very finely ground coffee. And after you drink it, you turn it over. And the coffee grinds make a pattern. And, of course, people read into that, just like you do up at the stars. You know, you look at the stars and you see a dog there. It doesn't bark at you. You see a dog there, you know. And so you say, oh, the dog. Well, people look into these things and they see different shapes of angels, of monsters, of eyes, of birds, and all kinds of things. And you can let your imagination go wild with all that stuff. So what she did is she actually took these coffee grounds, the way that they've been turned over, and put them on canvas. So imagine that same little coffee cup being amplified 5-10 times its size, its scale, and spread along the canvas. So we had a chance to talk about her artwork and just how, what inspired her to do this, as well as talk about a very special set of canvases, two canvases that she had done. And I remember that today because it's one that's dedicated to our friend Laura and her best friend. She did this very special canvas. So you know what? I'm not going to play you the entire interview because it was more in line with there's some visuals that you would need to see. But rather what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you a couple excerpts where she talks about her art and where she talks about this very special canvas. Let's listen in.
That piece right there on the wall, the 6-foot piece, that was the very first canvas. And that's 25 years old. And that was inspired because 25 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And since then, I've been diagnosed with cancer 2 more times, okay? So back then, 25 years ago, after my surgery, I was recuperating, and I have my beautiful sister over here who would come after work and visit me every day. So she would come to the house, and what do? We'd make coffee. And she likes to look in the cup, and so we would sit there, and she would do like a reading, you know. It's just fun for us to see what's in the cup. And it was probably after about a week of just staring in cups that I was like, you know, every cup is just so beautiful. Every cup has like this mini work of art in there. And there's just the hills and the valleys and the dark and the light and the all the different details. So I told her, I want to paint a cup, but not a tiny cup. I'm going to explode it. So that cup is a 10-time explosion of the size. So basically, it's as if we take this coffee cup, and I cut it down the center, and then I fan it out. So that's what the interpretation is. So then I told her, I'm going to paint this cup, but I don't want it to just be a regular cup. It's got to be like a really great cup. It's got to have like a really good message. And so, I don't know, we drank like lots of coffee in the next 2 weeks. And this cup has all kinds of like angels and hope and beauty and all of prayer and, you know, all kinds of great message in there. So that's the one I chose to be my first canvas. So I had built that canvas. I stretched it myself and the whole thing. In fact, it's been in my dining room for like 25 years. And when I took it down, I really saw how I put it together. It was very interesting. So So that kind of started my love of coffee art. And then I had always had this dream that someday I'm going to do a series. I'm going to do a series of 8. And unfortunately, I didn't have the space or the time, and, you know, life got in the way. Of course, I have beautiful children and grandchildren. And but in May of last year, I decided that I had enough of my corporate day job. There was just not one more day of sitting at a computer that I could handle. And my friend Arpi's out there, and so there was a lot of, she's an artist, and there was a lot of soul searching that went in, and do you think I can really do this? And my brother and my family and my sister, they were all like, come on, you could do it, you know, you could do it. My mom's prayers and, you know, all of that. So I quit my job to follow my passion, and the first thing I did was this series of paintings. So this is a collection of different people that came over to my house and drank coffee, and different readings that were done. But this became a kind of the obsession. And then Arno had this idea that, hey, why don't you paint some other things too with coffee? And that's how the other artwork happened. And it just kind of snowballed. And I just love working in this medium.
Let's talk a little bit about the paint itself, because I think we started on that. You said it's unique. You're the only one who's been painting with Armenian coffee. What can we expect? I mean, it's acidy, right?
People ask me
about the paint a little
people
bit.
People ask me all the time, and I've been saying, like, I could tell you, but if I tell you, I'll have to kill you. So it's like my little trade secret. It is Armenian coffee.
Fair enough.
And I do brew it like Armenian coffee. I make it in a jezve, but I make it about 2 cups of coffee at a 2 cups of powder at a time. And then I do bring it to a boil. It's very thick when I work on it, and then I manipulate it to make it permanent. How's that?
Okay, no more questions on that. She put me to... All right.
And it obeys me.
All right, we will move on to that. Of all the canvases, my particular interest, and I would like you to talk about this one. It's a double canvas. Tell us a little bit about this one here.
So that's a very special canvas for me, because it's been almost a year since I lost my very best and dearest friend, Laura. She passed away on February 2nd, so it's been almost a year. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of her, because we were so connected. She was my close friend since we were kids. You know, family friends. Our families were friends. And we were in each other's weddings. We had kids at the same time. We had grandkids at the same time. And her diagnosis with lymphoma was 6 months from start to finish. So I was thinking about her, and I decided to do a tribute to her with those two canvases. I made 2 cups of coffee. I drank one for her, and I drank one for me, side by side. And it's kind of a memorial to the thousands of cups of coffee that we shared in our lifetimes. I mean, that coffee is such a uniting thing. You know, we sit and we say, come over and have a cup of coffee, and we sit and we talk and we share. It helps us to open up. And so those two canvases, I drank both of them, and it was very interesting how there was parallels in them, because one of the things that my sister pointed out was the two wishbones that are in that canvas. They're in the same spot. They're on the bottom, if you kind of look it right. Mm-hmm. So one of them is broken. Laura's canvas is up on the top, and mine is on the bottom. So you could see that hers, the wishbone, is divided and broken. That's like dreams that were not realized, were from a life cut short. She also saw in there strong two women, strong presence, connected, that she's still very much looking over her family. She's very loving mom and grandma, still looking over her family in all the things that she's doing. So I just thought it was beautiful. On the left side of hers, on the top left, there's a little heart, and it looks like there's two people talking to each other, kind of with their hands together. I thought that was really beautiful, too. So it's just a, you know, it's just a way for me to connect with her again, and do something we used to do all the time. You know, it's just a fun memory.
So there you have it. That is the interview, that part of it, an excerpt from the interview that we did at Abril Bookstore. She refers to a gentleman named Arno. He is the proprietor par excellence of Abril. And there will be a link on today's show notes to Abril, to the Coffeescapes, to all kinds of stuff. So make sure you check out the show notes. There's so much stuff in there. And we take some, poor Ken, he sits over here. Yes, Ken is back. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sean. Big shout out to Sean for covering. But Ken is back. And, he meticulously writes down these show notes as we are talking so that we are able to incorporate it at the end. Do make use of them. Go on to the website and take a look at the show notes as well. There'll be links to all the things that we talk about. Last thing I want to share with you, guess what this Sunday is? It happens to be called Super Sunday, and that is a phenomena of the United States of America, but it also transcends and goes throughout the world, where we celebrate football's best. And this year, the NFL and the AFL are going at it, and once again, they are betting a lot of money that you are going to be watching it. And interesting, because the stats are in, and because of all the difficulty the NFL has had with the stand-up during the sit-down during the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem of the United States, they have shown that there has been a considerable turnoff of people, and the ratings are down compared to last year, but still pretty high, because guess what? Each of the sponsors of the Super Bowl are paying, get this, $4.5 million for 30 seconds of airtime. $4.5 million for 30 seconds of airtime on the Super Bowl. What does that mean? That means if they're going to sell you a product, let's say beer, Budweiser beer, okay? They're going to sell you Budweiser beer. They're going to be spending $4.5 million for 30 seconds. And in that 30 seconds, they're going to orchestrate it in such a way so that you will want to get one of their Budweiser beers, whether it's a bottle of it, whether it's the big lager brand, whatever it is, they've got the brand Budweiser, and it's with the horses and with the dog sleds and all that. They're going to convince you that you need to buy this, and this is the best beer, okay? What does that mean? If they're spending $4.5 million, it means that they are convinced that they have a good product, right? They're not going to waste money, $4.5 million, on a bad product. They believe in their product. Now, they spend that money, and in return, they're not going to get $4.5 million. They're going to get $40.5 million. They're going to get $400.5 million. That's what's going to come back to them. And they have these all calculated. If not, they wouldn't buy that commercial. They have an investment return calculated. Okay, folks, look, it's the same. We have Jesus Christ in the center of our faith, in the center of our religion. Let us stop selling something else. Let us believe in the product that we have. Let us sell what we have. Basically, peace on earth, an opportunity to accept love incarnate right now. And as for the future, God controls the future. God holds the future. It's his business. But what we have to offer today is this promise that Jesus Christ said, peace on earth, goodwill to men in my coming. And we have an opportunity to enact, to enable, to make the kingdom of God here on earth a living reality through the church. Invest in that. You know, we talk about it. We praise it. We love it. The first Christian nation. But where does it come? What does it mean when you invest in it? It means you believe in it. Just like Budweiser Company, Anheuser-Busch, believes in Budweiser, they're investing $4.5 million for 30 seconds. Just like Ford is investing $4.5 million to convince you that you need to drive a Fiesta. Just like Lay's company is telling you and they're investing $4.5 million, they believe that their potato chip is better than the other potato chip, to the tune of $4.5 million for that half a minute of time. Now, think about it. What do? We say we've got the best product. We say we're the first Christian nation. We tell everybody that, oh, this is the authentic thing. But when it comes down to selling it, what we're going to offer the people, well, we say, why don't you come to our church because we have a great food fair. You know, nobody makes pahlava like we do. Nobody has a basketball team like we do. Of course they do. You want some good food? There's some great restaurants all around you. That's great that your ladies' society could cook great food, but that's not the reason and the purpose that you have a church. You have good food because you've got a good community of people that believe, that come together and are gathered around a common faith. You have a great basketball team. Why? Not because that's what you're selling, but because people are working in concert. They've become friends with one another. You see how it works? We sell the wrong thing, and we've got to get back on schedule of selling the right thing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, love incarnate, coming from heaven and giving us an opportunity to connect with the entire universe, to connect with the beginning of time and the end of time. That's Jesus Christ. He's in the center of our faith. That's what Armodoxy is about. That's what Armenian Orthodoxy holds as its tradition. We're not Bible-based, but Jesus-based. It is based on the simple premise that Jesus Christ came into this world so that there would be peace everlasting, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And that's something that we can strive for, that we have to work for. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has ordained me to preach the good news to the poor, to bring recovery of sight to the blind. That was the command with which Jesus entered his ministry. It is the command with which we follow as the Church of Jesus Christ, as the body of Jesus Christ. So, there you have it. $4.5 million, that should be peanuts to us. We should be willing to put it all on the line. And many times we do. Take an opportunity this weekend, as you're watching the Super Bowl, to realize how many millions are being poured into it. And realize it's a football that goes from one side of the stadium to the other side, and then back again, and then back again, and then back again. And at the end of the game, there is a score, and the game is over. It's finished. And yet, they are spending and investing millions, billions of dollars in that little pigskin going from one side to the other side. Think about our lives, the opportunity that we have to teach our children, to teach the world what it means to be united with Jesus Christ. Can you put a price on it? Is it worth more than $4.5 million every 30 seconds? Absolutely. It's a redundant question. So let's act like it's a decent, let's act like it's a statement and a teaching that we believe in and invest in it. There you have it. That's our Super Sunday take on the Super Bowl as well. I'm going to take a break right now. Here is Susie to tell you about how you can get involved with this ministry. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, we are back, and thank you, Susie, for that wonderful announcement. And thank you to all of you for all your support, your kind wishes, the letters that you send us, and all of the fun things that you tell us about what you're up to. I appreciate everything that I get from you. If I don't write back immediately, just know that it's overwhelmed. By the way, this week I even pulled in a little bit of jury duty. Did I say that at the beginning? I can't believe it's over right now. I'm just very thankful. I have a slip of paper right in front of me that says the Superior Court in Los Angeles has given me a certificate of jury service, and I need to hang on to this. It gets me out of jury duty for the next year. 1 year, and then you're up for jury duty again. So anyway, it was an experience. One day I'll share that with you too. Let me just say for right now, it's been wonderful to be with you here today. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Want to invite you to all the usual spots, whether it's on Facebook or at inhisshoes.org, to check in with us, whether it's on Instagram. And we have a great new moderator for the Instagram page. Mariana's on board. Want to do a shout out to her. We got some great people working on our next big project, which is called Reclaim. It is March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Buy, steal, cheat, do whatever you have to get out to Los Angeles. We're going to be at the Burbank Western Diocese Cathedral March 2nd, 3rd, 4th for a 3-day conference. If you need assistance in getting out here, do check out the website embracing-faith.org. There's opportunities for discounted rates as well as scholarships. We'd love to have you there. The important thing is being together. So that's our next big project. We'll be telling you more about it as we get closer to it. Also, this July, I have accepted a speaking engagement. I'll be in Poconos, Pennsylvania, I guess. Yeah, we'll be talking with the Syrian Orthodox and the youth. A lot of fun stuff happening over there. Can't wait to share that with you as well. Want to thank you for joining us on behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together. Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer. This is Father Vazquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off by one top limit.